Wow. Thank you, praise team. It's been a long time since we've had an octet for leading us in worship. Don't we have a wonderful Savior? That's so true, Laura. In the spiritual realm, which we can't see, things are happening. I mean, my heart's fuller than it was a half hour ago. I don't know how else to say that. So thank you, Brew Bakers and praise team, for bringing us closer to God. And thank you, God, for meeting us here. I need somebody to read from Matthew, the first chapter, a few verses. I volunteer. It's very easy reading. There's no big names. Mary, you up to reading? It'll be in a little bit. Mary's my sister, so we pick on each other. This morning, I'd like for us to think about Joseph. Joseph, the Joseph that fathered Jesus. One of my favorite contemporary Christmas carols is Mary, Did You Know? And when I stepped in the door this morning, the praise team was practicing or singing. I think they were having their own worship. Mary, Did You Know? But I'm going to change the words on that this morning. This was exciting for me the last few weeks. I'm going to change the words and say, Joseph, did you know? Joseph, did you know? Let me try that. You're going to see that I'm not a composer, so what I'm going to share with you lacks rhythm and rhyme, but we can get there sometime. I'll do the music next year. One of the favorite phrases in Mary, Did You Know? Was, Mary, did you know that the one you delivered will someday deliver you? And as I thought about Joseph, did you know, I tried to put some concepts into that song that I'm going to compose sometime that had some deep meaning. So it took me a while to get there, but it actually took weeks. So it goes like this. Joseph, did you know that your boy would someday feed 5,000? Carpenter Joseph, did you know that your son would be building a kingdom? Joseph, did you ever look up from your praying and see Jesus listening? Joseph, did you know that the 12-year-old boy you lost will save the lost? Joseph, did you know the child you fathered will become your daddy someday? Abba, Father. Joseph, did you know that the tree you shaped in the carpenter shop was like the tree Jesus died on to shape your eternity? Joseph, did you know? Joseph, did you know that the little boy you saved from death by King Herod became your savior? Joseph, did you know? Mary, if you would, I'd like for you to read from Matthew 1, verses 18 to the end of the chapter.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you, Mary. Many of us know the Nativity story by heart. Few of us have considered the role that dreams played in the birth of Jesus and in the life of Jesus. The first Christmas was very much the result of dreams. These dreams changed the course of history. We have heard the Nativity account many times, but let us look, because we know the ending, we assume some things. But let us look this morning at the Christmas Nativity scene with fresh eyes. Let me say as a disclaimer that I believe that Jesus was totally human and totally holy. He was 100% human. So what I'm going to share is, I had a lot of fun doing this. It's going to be the humanness of Jesus and his dad. So I also believe that Jesus was totally holy. The scripture tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. We really know very little about Joseph, but it's the mother of Jesus, Mary, that often gets the most press. And rightly so. We never hear Joseph speak in scriptures. As I researched this, I thought that was really surprised me. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, "And Joseph said," nowhere. And I wonder why that was. No. But I wonder what Joseph was thinking about when Jesus was born. What was his dad thinking about? Some questions that came to my mind. Did Joseph and Jesus ever arm wrestle? And did Jesus ever let his dad win? Did Joseph ever look from his prayers and see Jesus listening? Joseph and his lifestyle were very influential in the life of his son Jesus. Matthew 1:18-19 says, "Joseph, your girlfriend is pregnant and it isn't yours," was probably not on Joseph's Christmas list. Because we live on this side of Christmas, we rush to the end of the story where everything turns out great. It's okay. Joseph was known for his uncompromising obedience to the Torah and to the law of Moses, so some scholars think. Like, Joseph didn't eat unclean food, he didn't mix with the wrong kinds of people, and he didn't keep his carpenter shop open on the Sabbath day. He was very strict to follow the Torah. Proverbs 19 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Joseph resolved to divorce Mary quietly, but God had completely other ideas. Joseph had a dream, and the angel said to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Would you be willing to make a decision that for the rest of your life that depended on a dream? Some of my dreams are, I don't know about your dreams. So any day now, Mary would give birth, scripture tells us, not to a child, but to the Messiah. Not to an infant, but to God. That's what an angel said. That's what Mary believes. That's what Joseph really tried to believe or wanted to believe. But it seems so strange. What sense is there in that, in this? Let's stop and think a little bit. Joseph was a carpenter. Jesus likely grew up playing in wood shavings. It occurs to me that there's some carpenters sitting in our group this morning, some woodworkers. So I'm kind of describing you. Carpenters make things fit. Carpenters square off the edges. Carpenters follow a plumb line or follow a level. Carpenters measure twice and cut once. As compared to me, the board's too short. Carpenters like to know the plans. Surprises are not the friends of builders. Surprises are not the friend of builders. They like to see the plans before they begin. Things that are rough, they smooth out. They sand, they foul. This dream is really a lot to ask of Joseph. Having heard it from the mouth of an angel, Joseph might now believe Mary had not been unfaithful after all, and the baby had been conceived by the Holy Spirit. But who else would believe it? An angel? A virgin birth? No way. Will you give yourself to a baby who isn't yours? Are you prepared to bear the shame that will come your way? These were really nail-biting questions for Joseph. It's probably not too far to say that Joseph had to face the demands of the cross before the crucified one was even born. Matthew 16, verse 25, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. Perhaps Joseph thought in this difficult time of making a choice, he had two options. One was to divorce Mary quietly, or two, to have her stoned. But God had a third option. Marry her. God often shows us more options than we can think of. In Joseph's dream, the angel says, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is a Greek version of Joshua, which means Savior. Isn't it ironic, like so much in Jesus' life, that the one who would appear to have been born in sin would now save the world from its sin? I wonder how long it actually took Joseph to understand what was going on. He and Mary don't quite seem to have worked it all out by the time Jesus was 12 and they lost him in Jerusalem. Likely they thought about it, but Jesus thought it obvious. Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? Mary pondered this thing in her heart. I wonder if Joseph was reading from Isaiah or listening to it in the temple when a light bulb went on. That's it. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. She shall call his name Emmanuel. Wait, thinking about Joseph, what does this guy know anyway? No, he's a carpenter. He has sawdust in his beard. He has a nail apron around his waist. He has a pencil behind his ear. Don't they do that, Chuck? Yeah, pretty much. He probably got a splinter in his finger. Joseph didn't know whether to call this newborn junior or father. What do you name a God you can cradle in your arms? Can you imagine some father burping God on his shoulder? Have you ever seen what comes out of a baby when you burp them? You mean Joseph is going to have dinner with God every evening? Children play in the street with Jesus? Did he get colds? Did he burp? Did he have body odor? Excuse me. Did Jesus have pimples? It's easier to think he never snored, blew his nose, or hit his thumb with a hammer. But the Word became flesh. What are some lessons we can learn from Joseph from this section of Scripture? God used Joseph to protect and preserve the life of our Savior. There is a part of God's will that is presently unknown to each of us and to be experienced in our life, in your life. It may look like this. It may be a family member that has yet to be saved, and you can add to this list. It may be a promise that yet has to be fulfilled. It may be a divine purpose for you that is unseen and even unknown. Just as Herod ordered the death of every Hebrew boy 2 years of age and under to destroy Jesus, Satan will do all he can to stop God's plan in your life. Some more lessons. Joseph showed mercy, Joseph had faith, and Joseph was obedient. They're very simple lessons, and I think they're just so obvious in this scripture. Mercy means to be kind and forgiving. Today's story has Joseph in the middle of a very personal crisis. He is in love with Mary. He believed that she loved him until he heard that she was pregnant. How should he respond? The mercy of Joseph preserved the life of Mary and protected the unborn. One of Joseph's other sons, James, who was Jesus' little brother, actually be Jesus' half-brother, wrote a book in the New Testament. We know that. And from James 3, verse 17, James says, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next. Joseph had faith, an obvious lesson we can learn. While he thought about these things, Joseph intended to privately divorce Mary. Then God told him the divine plan. Take Mary as your wife, be a father to the child, and name him Jesus. So what was Joseph's part in that plan? To exercise faith in a very difficult set of circumstances. To trust God when the situation could not be understood and explained with any sense. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from hearing the message. Faith comes from hearing God's word. Joseph was obedient. Matthew 1, 24 says, then Joseph awoke, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph obeyed even though his mind was filled with doubts. Joseph obeyed even though his emotions were in an uproar, big time. Part of Joseph's story that we didn't read this morning was he had to leave home to live in Egypt to save Jesus, his son. You know, we are safe in the places of obedience. 2 John verse 6, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. Church, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus was born with the title Savior. Acts 10, verse 36 says that Jesus is Lord of all. Colossians 2, 16, he's the head over every authority. Let me do the third verse of Mary, did you know, and Joseph, did you know? Church, did you know? Church, did you know that Congress doesn't run the world? Jesus Christ does. Church, did you know that economy doesn't determine your future? Jesus Christ does. New Beginnings Church, do you know that cancer doesn't control your destiny? Jesus Christ does. New Beginnings Church, do you know that death doesn't have the last word? Jesus does. I think if Satan had his way, Jesus would not have ever entered Mary's womb. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the gift of Christmas, and that is that God came to us with skin on and came on our turf. Wow. So thank you, Jesus, for loving us. We're going to invite Kate to come and share with us what's ahead of her. What is God calling her to do in life? Kate is the third child of Sean and Laura. She's one of our 10 grandchildren. I remember a time when Kate's family called her Pipsqueak. Somehow Kate has outgrown that, and she's now a... So, Kate, we invite you to come and share with us.
My name's Kate. For those of you who don't know me, probably like one of you, but I came here like basically all my life. So I'm currently taking a gap year. I graduated high school in June before I go to college, and I have decided that I'm going to attend YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission. So basically, the overview of what it is, it's 5 months, so the first 3 months is basically a lecture phase. So basically what they do is there's a whole bunch of classes. I tried to find the times, but I'm pretty sure it's like 8 a.m. to maybe 4. There's like lectures and worship and time to pray and with like educated teachers and stuff like that, and you're basically equipped so that you can go out into different areas and teach people about God, like know how to best interact with people who aren't similar to your lifestyle, and learn more about God so that you can teach others about God. So basically that first 3 months is like educating you, and then the next 2-ish months is outreach. So I don't know the outreach places yet, but there's two. So the group I'm with, it'll be split into two groups, and we'll get, like, the locations of the outreach when I get there. But split into two groups, and then we basically go out and we minister. And so I think, the reason that there's, like, YWAM bases all over everywhere. And so people go to those bases. So the base that I'm going to is Sunshine Coast in Australia, which is on the East Coast. Originally I was led to it because, Seth, my brother, my sister-in-law, Tori, she went there and she had a really, really positive experience. So it made me look into it more. And, then I decided that I felt like it was, what I was supposed to do. And Tori had a really positive experience with the base. Sometimes those bases can get a little, like, they're bigger groups and the, like, leadership isn't as great. But since Tori was went there and I've done research, I know that it's a great base and full of great people and great teachers. And so that's why I really felt called to go there, because I know that it's a great place to learn and do all this stuff. So then we'll do outreach phase, and that's where we kind of put all what we learned into practice. I am leaving on February 2nd next year. 2025, and I'm coming back June 20th. So obviously, to do this, I need some funds. I am not made of money, Yeah, so in order to do this, it takes funds, the flights, and then the actual food and lodging and teachings, education for the 5 months. So it would be really great if you guys could maybe consider supporting me. I promise they're going towards a good cause. I do have papers. It, like, kind of gives an overview. It has, like, the outreach training and then a little bit more information. And then it also has what you can make your check payable to. It has it written down there. It also has, like, contact information if you want to ask me questions or if you have any questions now. So I can hand those out to you. I just wanted to... I was just going to end this. The song So Will I that we sang during worship, it has a few really powerful lines. Sometimes when I sing songs and that I really know, you kind of just like sing them and you're like, oh, these words are cool, I guess. But the lines in So Will I is just kind of one of the songs that like I feel like I can't just like sing past them. Some of my favorites are In the Vapor of Your Breath, The Planets Form, Every Burning Star, A Signal Fire of Grace, All Nature and Science Follow the Sound of Your Voice, As You Speak, 100 Billion Creatures Catch Your Breath, Where You Lost Your Life So I Could Find It Here, You Can See Your Heart 8 Billion Different Ways, Every Precious One, A Child You Died to Save. But the line that has always stuck out the most to me is, On a Hill You Created. It has always just impacted me that God was willing to be tortured and die on the very same hill and grass and dirt, and be stuck with the very same thorns and killed with the very same people that he created. This has fueled me through my faith journey and the next step of faith to go to YWAM, because the stars and wind and rocks and mountains and waves were all created to worship, then so will I. If God was willing to give up his life for me on this very same ground that he created, then I'm willing to surrender my life for his purpose. And I believe that next step in my life is YWAM. So if you guys would consider.
I have a question.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of things, actions definitely speak louder than words. So even if, like, I can't communicate, like, directly with them, there will be, like, translators and stuff if we need. But for me personally, if someone says something, it's like, oh, okay, cool, you know. But if I see them then, like, doing it or living something out, then that's going to mean a lot more to me. And I think that I can show love. It's easier to show love. And if they see that love, then they'll know that there's, like, something different. And, yeah. So if there's any more questions, then.
What language do they
speak? Well, in Australia, they're going to probably speak English most of the time. But the outreach phase is going to depend where outreach is, which I don't know yet. But, yeah.
I'll just speak on behalf of all of us. We're excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Well, nobody else has any questions. I have.
Okay.
What are you going to do if they make you wear shoes?
Oh, they won't. They won't. Australia? That's one of the perks. They don't really like shoes as much, so. Yeah. That was a big factor, I think. Yeah. Yep. What?
God bless you and be with you.
Thank you.
You're going to go to Australia for your training, or that's where you'll be driving?
Yeah, the training, the first 3 months is in Australia, and then I'll go fly somewhere for outreach, and then I come back for like a week at the end then. Yeah.
And when you fly, that's when you mainly
shoot. Yeah, yeah, unfortunately. But I get to take them off for like when they check, so. That's fine. Yeah. Anything else? Cool. Yep. Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think this girl needs shoes, and maybe we should give her some money to help with that. I'd like to ask everybody to come around. We're going to get you to sit, Kate, and we want to pray for you. Because when you're doing God's word, we can back you up with prayers. We learned that this morning. So we just invite everybody to come up, gather around Kate. I'm going to ask Barry to close. And we're just going to pray for her.
just guide her through all of this, and may this be a time of growth in her life and a time of sharing the hope that she has within her with others. So as we depart, we join me in praying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in
everybody said.